to go to Revelation chapter 1, which is maybe not the first place you would go if you were thinking about looking back. You would say to yourself, isn't Revelation looking forward? Isn't Revelation talking about things to come? Well, it is. It is. It's a great book that tells us what's going to happen in the days ahead. But here in this first chapter, we are once again shown who our Savior is, shown who we were and who we are now because of Christ. And so Revelation chapter 1, as we look back this morning, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. As you read Revelation, look for all those time cues. Shortly, near, coming. Shortly must take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to things, all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Another time marker. The time is near for these things to happen. Now, once again, we put that in perspective because we've been waiting a long time. These words were written a long time ago. What happened to the near? What happened to the coming? What happened to the shortly? Well, remember, time with God is different than time is with us. You can maybe make a little bit of an example or an illustration, the time difference between a young person and an old person. For an older person, it seems like the start of the year was just yesterday, because time just flies, right, when you get older. But to a young person, every day is excruciatingly painful when you're waiting for something. When will my birthday come? It's in 2 days. And for an older person, they blink, and those 2 days, it's like that. And for a young person, it's like every second. When will it come? Our Lord is merciful and gracious. What are 1,000 years to him? What are 10,000 years to him? But he has told us, I'm coming shortly. The time is near, so that we would be ready, looking, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. This book is a precious book that brings along with it a blessing to those who read it, to those who hear it, and to those who keep it. And we are those people this morning. We are going to read it, not the whole book. Okay. You can finish it at home this afternoon. We're going to read it. We're going to hear it. But then we're also going to keep it. We're going to observe the things and hold on to them that we find here. John, verse 4, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And that's one of the things I really want us to be mindful of as we leave, is that Jesus is coming again. I didn't hear any amens. Jesus is coming again. Amen. He is the one who is, who was, and is to come. That needs to be a present reality. Every day that we live our lives, we need to think Jesus is coming. Today, could be today, could be tomorrow, could be the next day. Jesus is coming. That needs to be our present reality. We can't forget that. You go about your week. You think, well, I got this week that's going on, and then this is going to happen next week, and next month we're going to go on vacation, and then school's going to start, and this, and blah, 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 and I'm going to retire in 5 years, and blah, 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 blah. What? Jesus is coming. Do you wake up and say, well, maybe today the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Maybe today I will open my eyes and see him in his presence, his glory and wonder. He is coming. From the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Remember, we looked at Amos, how God was sovereign over the kings and over the nations, and guess what? He still is and always will be. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Why is Jesus Christ the supreme one? Why is he the one to be adored and loved above all others? Why is he the most satisfying person? Because look at what he has done for us. He has loved us. That is a self-sacrificing love. God loves you. You know that? You know that? And you know what's even more magnificent? Is you know you. So you put that together. You know who you are, your heart and your mind. And God says, I love you. That's magnificent. He doesn't just love us today because we're clean and we're in the church building and because you smell fairly nice. He loved us before we loved him. He loved us when we hated him. He loved us when we were in rebellion against him. That's when he loved us. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. He has washed us. He has cleansed us from our sins in his own blood. It was his own blood. The high king, the king of kings and lord of lords. It was his precious blood that was shed so that we could be forgiven. So that we could be cleansed. We look back and we realize who we were. And now we realize who we are today. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. We are here to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But then notice this as well. It says that he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. It's not just that you have been cleansed and now you're just a servant in the household of God. It's not just that you've been cleansed and you're a child in the household of God. But guess what? You are kings and priests to God. He has elevated us to a great position for his glory. And then on it goes in verse 7 and 8. It says, behold, he is coming. Once again, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And here are the words of Christ. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. There are so many precious names that are given to Jesus Christ in Revelation, but maybe this is the one that you should latch onto this morning, the Almighty. When you look at what's happening in the world today, remember, there's one who is in control. Who is that one? It is the Almighty. When you think about how great your sin was and how great your sin is, how can it be forgiven? It can be forgiven because of the Almighty One. When you think about your suffering, when you think about your pain, when you think about the heartache that you carry, how will you ever get through this? Because there is the Almighty. Our God loves us, has washed us, and walks with us. From here until eternity. I'm so glad for that. So thankful for that. And we get to celebrate this morning all of this. We're going to sing some songs, and Daniel's going to come and lead us as we look back a couple songs, the old rugged cross, and then how deep the Father's love for us.
Stand together on this first song.
Thank you.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where Paul is giving instructions to the church at Corinth how to observe the Lord's table, because they were not doing a very good job of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul says this, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul puts this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This grape juice and cracker, there's nothing special about these things. They will not save you. It's simply to point us back to the cross and to remind us of what Jesus has done. It's through his broken body and through his blood that we have been redeemed. And we're to do this to proclaim the Lord's death to ourselves, to one another, until Jesus Christ comes back. But then Paul gives these instructions in verse 27 to the church at Corinth, because once again, they've been doing this incorrectly. They've been doing this selfishly. So Paul says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." And sleep is a euphemism, not for taking a nap, but it's a euphemism for death. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." This is a precious time for the believer. It brings us back to the foot of the cross and reminds us of what we've been saved from. Reminds us that we are his. Reminds us that this means something great. And so Paul tells the church at Corinth, and we receive the application. We are to inspect our hearts to see if we are right before the Lord. If when we take this, we take it in a worthy manner, in a way that would not in any way defame what Jesus Christ has done. You judge yourself. You inspect your own heart. Because if you don't inspect your heart and get right with the Lord, he will come after you. Because he loves you too much to let you make light of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in just a few minutes, Kevin is going to play on the piano and give us time to silently inspect our own hearts, our own minds, to see where we are. Have we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we? Have I truly believed? Not just do I know that there was a man by the name of Jesus, that he died on the cross, but have I really come to the place where I believe that it was his work upon the cross can save me? He alone. Have I placed my personal faith in him? Have I been baptized? It's one of the first commandments that we are given to do. It's the easiest commandment Jesus will ever give you to obey. Be baptized. All you have to do is be dunked in the water to show you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then live in fellowship with him. Walk right before him with the church, one another. So inspect your heart. We're going to give Kevin some time to play, and I would encourage silent prayer for you to inspect your heart, to make sure that when we do take communion, you will take it in a worthy manner. Father, we come before you as people who have inspected our hearts. May you be pleased in what you see. And Father, may you be delighted as we rejoice in our Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for our salvation through taking of this little cracker and this grape juice. We rejoice in our Savior. Amen. Go ahead and open the cracker side. Up on the screen will come a verse I would like us to say together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Let's say this together, and then we'll take of this little piece of bread, cracker, that reminds us of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was placed on the cross for our sins. 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take this together in remembrance of our Savior. And let's take the grape juice and open the grape juice carefully. And the next verse that's going to come up is 1 Corinthians 11:25. Let's say this together before we take the grape juice, reminding ourselves of the blood that was shed for our sins. 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We take this together, remembering the blood that was shed for our sins. I'm going to have Daniel come and lead us in another song. "Lead Me to Calvary." Reminder, every day, right? So we should be at the foot of the cross. Please, Daniel.
Thank you.
We've looked back, we've looked within, and we've looked up. Now we look around. We looked around at one another. And I want you to do that. I do this purposefully during the communion service. Look around. Look around at one another, okay? Look, you're not doing a very good job. Come on, I know your necks aren't that stiff. Look, I We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. If we've believed on Him, we are family. And we should be looking out for one another. If someone's not here, you should know about it. You should look out after them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Call them up. How are you doing? Where have you been? Are you okay? That's what family does. This reference in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 10, excuse me, 24 and 25, this always was the proof text verse of why people should be in church. When somebody skipped, if the church was a very legalist church, they would come after you and give you this verse. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible is filled with one another's. We are one another. Consider one another. How well do you know those around you? As you looked around, how well do you know the person sitting next to you? Now you say, well, I married this person. I know them pretty well. Okay? But there's other people here. You say, well, I don't even know that person's name. And it's not the first time they've been here. I don't know if that person has children or grandchildren. I don't know if that person has any health struggles. I don't know if that person has any spiritual struggles. I don't know what's the main prayer request on that person's heart. We should know one another to that degree so that we can consider one another, stir up one another, pray for one another, admonish one another. That's how well we should know one another. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. I want you know, we're going to have a fellowship meal upstairs in just a little bit. It's a great time to get to know people. Maybe sit at a table, that's a little scary, with people you don't necessarily know too well. And when you sit together, talk about more than just how hot it was this past week and how cool it's going to be this next week. Ask them, what's on your heart and mind? What's been a joy this past week? What's been a blessing from the Lord? What's been a scripture that's encouraged you? What's one way that I could pray for you? Is there something I can do for you? That's what God wants to see in His family. I want to take a moment and pray, encouraging us to do this and also to pray for you. Father, I'm so thankful for our church family. We are blessed. We are so blessed. Throughout the years, Father, the unity that You have given to us, the work that we have been able to do together, the prayers that we have prayed faithfully Wednesday night after Wednesday night after Wednesday night, and Father, then to see You answer our prayers. I'm so thankful for the family that we are. We're not a perfect family. We have a long ways to go in getting to know one another. And Father, I pray that You would place on our hearts this family, that we would be conscious of this family during the week and how we can pray and encourage for one another. And Father, I pray even as we go upstairs to our fellowship meal, that we would go beyond the casual and ask questions that concern the hearts. And then that we would be diligent and faithful to pray for one another, to encourage, to continue that on. Father, for our church family this morning, I pray. I pray for those who are struggling with health issues. And their heart is burdened because they're not able to do what they used to be able to do. Because they're not able to serve the way that they would like to serve. Because they are restricted. And it seems like days are made up of doctor's visits and pills and whatever else. Father, remind them that you are right next to them in their pain. You have not left them. You love them still. Remind them that you will be there through it all. And remind them, Father, of your love, knowing that nothing is outside of your plan, and that you are going to work it all together for good. Father, I pray for those whose hearts are full of sorrow. Maybe it is over the loss of a loved one. Maybe it is because there is sin in the family. Maybe it's because of ways that children and grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren, choices that they are making, and hearts are heavy. Father, remind them of the great privilege we have to pray, to come before your throne, not only individually, but as a family as well. And that very thing that is on their heart, that is heavy upon them, that they would cast that upon you. Father, may all our burdens and our griefs, may they be brought to you. And Father, others within our church family that you have blessed, that they've had a great week. May they never lose sight of you and your goodness. Remind them that it is because of who you are that they have had a good week. Father, please, may our church family be so much more important to us than it ever has been. And may we love one another more. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a good song to sing. Oh, how good it is. This is a song we've been learning. And we sing it as we think about one another. And so Daniel's going to come and lead us in this. back, we've looked within, we've looked up, we've looked around, and now we look forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And once again, I just want to take you back to Revelation chapter 1. And just mark this again, that these things must take place shortly. Verse 4, it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins with his own blood and has made us kings and priests to our God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And then the very end of Revelation, the very last words within the Bible. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Those are the last words we have from Jesus in the Bible. It's the last, you know, it's like the last thought. What's the last thing he wants to leave us with? Surely I am coming quickly. That's a little bit of a warning, right? It's like when the parents call home and say, we're going to be there in 5 minutes. Right? You don't want the house to be a mess. And when Jesus comes back, you don't want your house to be a mess. You want to be right with him. You want to be living for him. So in one aspect, it's a little bit of a warning. I'm coming. But in another thing, it's a great joy. Because out of all the faces that we want to see, it's that face. Jesus Christ. I want to see his face. I've believed in someone I've never seen. And he is precious to me. But I'm looking forward to that day when I will see his face, when I will be in his presence. And he has told us when that day comes, we will be in his presence forever. So Jesus says, surely I am coming quickly. And John doesn't say, well, wait a minute, there's still a lot of things I want to do. There's still a lot of things I want to see. What does John say? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then the last words of the Bible, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Because grace is needed for this journey, right? We need God's grace. He will give it. He is coming again. Look for your Savior. Look forward. We're going to sing one last song. Christ Returneth. What is it going to be like? I don't know, but maybe the song gives us a little glimpse of it. And it only gives us a little glimpse of it if you sing it correctly. That means you sing it well. But then Daniel's going to lead us in a word of prayer, not only thanking the Lord for the time we've had here and the reminder, but also to thank the Lord for the food because and the fellowship, because after this, everybody, we can all go upstairs and we're going to have a fellowship meal together. I'm looking forward to that. We've had a little bit of break in our fellowship meals, and so I'm looking forward to breaking bread together. But let me tell you this, our things have changed a little bit because we have another church who uses our church building. And so when we go upstairs, take everything with you. Not the chairs, not the songbooks, but take your Bibles, your purses, your waters, whatever. Take that with you and either put it in your car or bring it upstairs because they will start to filter in here probably as we're finishing up, and that'll just make the transition a little bit smoother. So we'll pray in just a minute for the food. We don't need to wait. As soon as the line is ready, we can start going through the line. I do have one announcement to make upstairs, and so I'll make that before we commence to the line. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Daniel.
Looking forward to the everlasting life together with you. We just sang about that. I pray that we will be looking forward to that, that it will shape our lives, our priorities. I thank you for the time that we're looking forward to also, eating together, visiting, sharing about our weeks that we've had and the weeks that we are going to be moving into. I pray that it will be a time of fellowship and encouragement. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.